Harbor Audio presents State of Fear by Michael Crichton, narrated by George Wilson. There is something fascinating about science. One gets such wholesale returns of conjecture out of such a trifling investment of fact. Mark Twain. Within any important issue, there are always aspects no one wishes to discuss. George Orwell. Introduction. In late 2003, at the Sustainable Earth Summit Conference in Johannesburg, the Pacific Island nation of Vanuatu announced that it was preparing a lawsuit against the Environmental Protection Agency of the United States over global warming. Vanuatu stood only a few feet above sea level, and the island's 10,000 inhabitants were in danger of having to evacuate their country because of rising sea levels caused by global warming. The United States, the largest economy in the world, was also the largest emitter of carbon dioxide, and therefore the largest contributor to global warming. The National Environmental Resource Fund, an American activist group, announced it would join forces with Vanuatu in the lawsuit, which was expected to be filed in the summer of 2004. It was rumored that wealthy philanthropist George Morton, who frequently backed environmental causes, would personally finance the suit, expected to cost more than $8 million. Since the suit would be heard by the sympathetic Ninth Circuit in San Francisco, the litigation was awaited with some anticipation. But the lawsuit was never filed. No official explanation for the failure to file has ever been given, either by Vanuatu or NERF. Even after the sudden disappearance of George Morton, an inexplicable lack of interest by the media has left the circumstances surrounding this lawsuit unexamined. Not until the end of 2004 did several former NERF board members begin to speak publicly about what had happened within that organization. Further revelations by Morton's staff, as well as by former members of the Los Angeles law firm of Hassell and Black, have added further detail to the story. Thus, it is now clear what happened to the progress of the Vanuatu litigation between May and October of 2004, and why so many people died in remote parts of the world as a result. MC, Los Angeles, 2004. Part 1, Page 1. From the Internal Report to the National Security Council, NSC, from the AASBC, Classified. Redacted portions from AASBC, obtained Freedom of Information Act 030404. Portions have been censored. Document. In retrospect, this word deleted, conspiracy was extremely well planned. Preparations were underway for more than a year before the events themselves took place. There were preliminary, this passage deleted, as early as March, this word deleted, 2003, and reports to the British, deleted, and the German, deleted. The first incident took place in Paris in May of 2004. It is deleted that the authorities deleted, but there now can be no doubt that what happened in Paris, this passage deleted, and the serious consequences that followed. Part 1. Akamai. Paris Nord. Sunday, May 2nd, 2004. 12 o'clock p.m. In the darkness, he touched her arm and said,
Stay here.
She did not move, just waited. The smell of salt water was strong. She heard the faint gurgle of water. Then the lights came on, reflecting off the surface of a large open tank, perhaps 50 meters long and 20 meters wide. It might have been an indoor swimming pool, except for all the electronic equipment that surrounded it, and the very strange device at the far end of the pool. Jonathan Marshall came back to her, grinning like an idiot.
"Qu'est-ce que tu penses?"
he said, though he knew his pronunciation was terrible.
"What do you think?"
"It is magnificent," the girl said.
When she spoke English, her accent sounded exotic. In fact, everything about her was exotic, Jonathan thought. With her dark skin, high cheekbones, and black hair, she might have been a model. And she strutted like a model in her short skirt and spike heels. She was half Vietnamese, and her name was Marisa.
"But no one else is here?" she said, looking around.
"No, no," he said.
"It's Sunday. No one is coming."
Jonathan Marshall was 24, a graduate student in physics from London, working for the summer at the ultra-modern Laboratoire Ondulatoire, the Wave Mechanics Laboratory, of the French Marine Institute in Vichy, just north of Paris. But the suburb was mostly the residence of young families, and it had been a lonely summer for Marshall, which was why he could not believe his good fortune at meeting this girl. This extraordinarily beautiful and sexy girl.
"Show me what it does, this machine," Marisa said.
Her eyes were shining.
"Show me what it is you do."
"My pleasure," Marshall said.
He moved to the large control panel and began to switch on the pumps and sensors. The 30 panels of the wave machine at the far end of the tank clicked, one after another. He glanced back at her, and she smiled at him.
"It is so complicated," she said.
She came and stood beside him at the control panel.
"Your research is recorded on cameras?"
"Yes, we have cameras in the ceiling and on the sides of the tank. They make a visual record of the waves that are generated. We also have pressure sensors in the tanks that record pressure parameters of the passing wave."
"These cameras are on now?"
"No, no," he said. "We don't need them. We're not doing an experiment."
"Perhaps we are," she said,
resting her hand on his shoulder. Her fingers were long and delicate. She had beautiful fingers. She watched for a minute, then said,
"This room, everything is so expensive. You must have great security, no?"
"Not really," he said. "Just cards to get in, and only one security camera."
He gestured over his shoulder.
"That one, back in the corner."
She turned to look.
"And that is turned on?" she said.
"Oh, yes," he said. "That's always on."
She slid her hand to caress his neck lightly.
"So is someone watching us now?"
"Afraid so."
"Then we should behave."
"Probably. Anyway, what about your boyfriend?"
"Him."
She gave a derisive snort.
"I have had enough of him."
Earlier that day, Marshall had gone from his small apartment to the café on Rue Montaigne, the café he went to every morning, taking a journal article with him to read as usual. Then this girl had sat down at the next table with her boyfriend. The couple had promptly fallen into an argument. In truth, Marshall felt that Marisa and the boyfriend didn't seem to belong together. He was American, a beefy, red-faced fellow built like a footballer, with longish hair and wire-frame glasses that did not suit his thick features. He looked like a pig trying to appear scholarly. His name was Jim, and he was angry with Marisa, apparently because she had spent the previous night away from him.
I don't know why you won't tell me where you were,
he kept repeating.
It is none of your business, that's why.
But I thought we were going to have dinner together.
Jimmy, I told you we were not.
No, you told me you were. And I was waiting at the hotel for you all night.
So, no one made you? You could go out, enjoy yourself?
But I was waiting for you.
Jimmy, you do not own me.
She was exasperated by him, sighing, throwing up her hands, or slapping her bare knees. Her legs were crossed, and the short skirt rode up high.
I do as I please.
That's clear.
Yes,
she said. And at that moment turned to Marshall and said,
What is that you are reading? It looks very complicated.
At first, Marshall was alarmed. She was clearly talking to him to taunt the boyfriend. He did not want to be drawn into the couple's dispute.
It's physics,
he said briefly, and turned slightly away. He tried to ignore her beauty.
What kind of physics?
She persisted.
Wave mechanics, ocean waves. So you are a student?
Graduate student.
Ah, and clearly intelligent. You are English? Why are you in France?
And before he knew it, he was talking to her, and she introduced the boyfriend, who gave Marshall a smirk and a limp handshake. It was still very uncomfortable, but the girl behaved as if it were not.
So you work around here? What sort of work? A tank with a machine? Really, I can't imagine what you say. Will you show me?
And now they were here, in the Wave Mechanics Laboratory, and Jimmy, the boyfriend, was sulking in the parking lot outside, smoking a cigarette.